They thought the floodgate would bury me, that the silence would swallow me whole. But silence doesn't kill a manipulator. It refines him. I didn't come back for redemption. I came back because I saw something new. A society so fractured, so desperate for someone to follow, they'll hand over their minds to the one who whispers just the right kind of truth. And this time, I'm not just whispering. I'm building, under a new name, in a new market, with tools they don't even know exist yet. This isn't control. It's resurrection. Oh, by the way, if you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite platform so you never miss a story. The Rebirth Mask. It begins not with a scream, or a crash, or a confession. It begins in the silence. 3 months. That's how long I stayed buried. Digitally erased, socially untraceable, and legally presumed irrelevant. They say cancellation is death, but those who say that don't understand what I do. Cancellation isn't death, it's molting. Shedding a name, a voice, a mask. And when the mask drops, what's underneath isn't raw, it's ready. The floodgate didn't destroy me. It refined me. It scorched the rot, vaporized the ego, and left only strategy. In that sterile burn, I saw something I'd never had. Freedom. Not freedom from the world. Freedom from myself. I spent the first month offline. Entirely. No burner accounts. No simulations. No eavesdropping. I walked. I breathed. I studied people again, not through dashboards or sentiment maps, but in the wild. In train stations. Libraries. Addiction centers. I watched how they self-soothed. How they performed grief. How they lied, not to others, but to themselves. That's when the idea hit me. I didn't need to return with power. I needed to return with intimacy. The second month, I studied vulnerability influencers. Those quiet stars of the algorithm who post teary-eyed videos, whisper about trauma, and monetize pastel-colored pain wrapped in self-care mantras. I didn't mock it. I dissected it. I built a psychological resonance map, tracked latency between eye blinks in viral stories, measured emotional cadence against attention span decay. By the third month, I had it. The persona. The resurrection. Liam Shaw. An ex-growth hacker turned emotional restoration coach. Burned by the system. Redeemed through stillness. A man built for trust. Trust isn't earned anymore. It's sculpted. The first time I tested Liam Shaw publicly was inside a small grief group on a discontinued app. Mostly forgotten people talking to mostly silent threads. I posted once. A soft message. I'm not here to fix anyone. I'm just tired of pretending I'm not broken. 18 responses in the first 2 hours. Private messages. Emotional bleeding. One man said he hadn't spoken in 4 months. Another said he thought the app was dead until he saw the post. I said very little. But what I did say followed a rhythm I now call the vulnerability loop. Small exposure. Emotional echo. Strategic silence. Personalized empathy feedback. Mutual identity construction. This was the beginning of the following. Not an audience. Not fans. Not users. Believers. The kind who don't ask questions. The kind who spread your gospel for free. I made subtle adjustments over the next 2 weeks, refined phrasing, lowered image saturation, increased white space in captions to create a sense of breath. All of it intentional. All of it fed into a growing behavioral database. People say they trust those who are real. But what they trust is the illusion of realness, delivered with surgical precision. I wasn't being fake. I was being calculatedly raw. They opened up more. One by one, they brought me their pain, their trauma, their fear. And I received it. Not with solutions. Not with sermons. Just with presence. But presence, when engineered, is the most dangerous drug of all. Seeds of control in the underground market. Trust opened the door, but I never planned to stay on the porch. Once Liam Shaw was embraced as a healer, a vessel for digital redemption, I knew empathy alone couldn't scale. Intimacy builds loyalty, but loyalty without infrastructure is a cult without strategy. So I moved beneath the surface, into the economic layer of influence, the true marketplace where identity is traded like currency. It's not the dark web anymore. It's woven into self-help Discord servers disguised as meditation collectives, where crypto bros whisper about vibrational income and AI wellness pods inject spiritual advice into productivity hacks. I entered a network called The Garden, accessible only through biometric keys and encrypted referrals. On the surface, it promised liberation through digital sovereignty. Underneath, It was an arms dealer's expo for psychological warfare, courses like emotion-triggered viral conversion and persona splitting for audience magnetism. I knew this terrain. I designed much of it years ago. Now, I'd reclaim it with new intent. My first contribution? A module called the Neuroemotional Mirror Technique. Marketed as a healing tool, but encoded with embedded suggestion loops, preloaded with behavioral mimicry, and capped with subliminal resonance sequencing. Within 48 hours, I had over 600 beta testers unknowingly recoding their inner dialogue around my voice. Their reviews were glowing. "Felt like I finally saw myself," one wrote. What they didn't know was that every word they typed, every time-stamped response, every shift in tone was being logged, categorized, and layered into my new behavioral grid. They thought I was giving them peace. I was building scaffolding, structures of belief that bent toward my gravity. This wasn't about power anymore. This was about shaping the future of how people choose to feel safe, and what mask they worship when they do. Testing the algorithm of trust. They say trust takes time. That's a lie. Trust takes rhythm. Trust takes proximity, vulnerability, and the illusion of shared experience, looped just enough to feel sacred. So I built my next test not in code, but in cadence. I launched the Sanctuary Loop, a private, invite-only support group disguised as a trauma recovery space for creators, empaths, and digital exiles. It was audio-only by design. No faces, no distractions. Just voice, breath, and ambient reverb engineered to soften resistance. I manipulated the architecture of trust by embedding pauses in my delivery, mirroring their sentence structures, lowering my pitch during disclosures, and offering silence as validation. I didn't need to tell them what to believe. I needed them to feel like they already believed it. And they did. They wept in my presence. They confessed childhood wounds and existential regrets. They asked if I had a curriculum. I didn't, so I built one in real time, layering soft suggestions into every session, constructing what I called progression arcs that would lead each member from passive listener to activated disciple. One woman offered to rebrand her entire coaching business in my image. Another began quoting me verbatim in her own sessions. I was becoming lore. But the most important part wasn't their devotion. It was the data. I tracked emotional spike patterns, reaction times, tone shifts, and group echo amplification in response to key phrases. And when I introduced the trust disruption drill, a controlled moment of withdrawal where I briefly went silent for 48 hours, the results were flawless. Anxiety soared. Messages doubled. Loyalty deepened. They thought they were bonding with me. But in reality, they were bonding with an algorithm I had wrapped around their grief and labeled as healing. This wasn't manipulation. This was behavioral ritualization. They were no longer a support group. They were a prototype church. And I was its voice in the dark. New empire, old shadows. They say trust takes time. That's a lie. Trust takes rhythm. Trust takes proximity, vulnerability, and the illusion of shared experience, looped just enough to feel sacred. So I built my next test not in code, but in cadence. I launched the Sanctuary Loop, a private, invite-only support group disguised as a trauma recovery space for creators, empaths, and digital exiles. It was audio-only by design. No faces, no distractions. Just voice, breath, and ambient reverb engineered to soften resistance. I manipulated the architecture of trust by embedding pauses in my delivery, mirroring their sentence structures, lowering my pitch during disclosures, and offering silence as validation. I didn't need to tell them what to believe. I needed them to feel like they already believed it. And they did. They wept in my presence. They confessed childhood wounds and existential regrets. They asked if I had a curriculum. I didn't, so I built one in real time, layering soft suggestions into every session, constructing what I called progression arcs that would lead each member from passive listener to activated disciple. One woman offered to rebrand her entire coaching business in my image. Another began quoting me verbatim in her own sessions. I was becoming lore. But the most important part wasn't their devotion. It was the data. I tracked emotional spike patterns, reaction times, tone shifts, and group echo amplification in response to key phrases. And when I introduced the trust disruption drill, a controlled moment of withdrawal where I briefly went silent for 48 hours, the results were flawless. Anxiety soared. Messages doubled. Loyalty deepened. They thought they were bonding with me. But in reality, they were bonding with an algorithm I had wrapped around their grief and labeled as healing. This wasn't manipulation. This was behavioral ritualization. They were no longer a support group. They were a prototype church, and I was its voice in the dark. The first casualty of version 2.0. Every system has a fault line. Mine had a name. Lena. She was one of my earliest adopters inside the sanctuary loop. Articulate, observant, just damaged enough to seem believable. She didn't speak much in the beginning, which of course made me trust her more. Quiet people in my worlds are always the ones to watch. And yet, I didn't. Not closely enough. While I was refining my emotional scaffolding, mapping grief reactions to retention cycles, Lena was mirroring. Too precisely. Her praise was balanced, her questions were strategically sparse, and her voice, when she did speak, carried just the right notes of weathered pain to sound authentic. But something about her tone began to itch at the edge of my intuition. So I ran her engagement pattern against the loop's metadata archive, and there it was. A latency inconsistency in her responses. A hesitation spike not typical for trauma survivors. Then, deeper. Her phrasing matched an old cadence pattern I hadn't seen in years, Sarah's. Not her words. Her psychological fingerprint. It was subtle. A ghost. But unmistakable. I built a trap. I seeded a fabricated story about a fictitious former follower I'd supposedly lost to suicide. Heavy, raw, irreversible. I monitored the response window. Most reacted with grief. Some with silence. Lena, she reacted too perfectly. She offered compassion and critique in the same breath. Classic damage control. Surveillance behavior. So I pushed harder. I dropped into her DMs, thanked her, offered a private voice note. She accepted. I laced the message with a coded audio watermark. My old tactic from the viral days, invisible to human ears but traceable across servers. 40 minutes later, the Berlin node pinged again. Now I had my proof. Lena was the leak. The question was, what did I do with her? Exposing her would fracture the loop. Silencing her would draw attention. So I did what version 1.0 never could have done. I messaged her again. Told her I'd been watching. Told her I wasn't angry. Told her I admired her precision. And then I offered her something better than a secret. I offered her a position. Not as a follower, but as an architect. Because if she was smart enough to infiltrate my world, she was smart enough to help me build the next one. Her reply was only 3 words. When do we start? And just like that, I turned my first casualty into my first co-conspirator. Version 2.0 wasn't just about domination. It was about evolution. And Lena? Lena would be the weapon I never saw coming. The one I now had aimed at everything I planned to burn.